today on the subject of healing, Exodus chapter 15. I'm going to read from the King James Version these familiar verses to us. Exodus 15, beginning in verse 23, and let's open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you today that you're the teacher, you're the revealer of truth, and you're here in our midst to open our eyes to truths we've never seen before. Open our ears, Lord, to help us to hear. And the Bible says that when our eyes are opened, our ears are opened, our heart will turn and we'll be healed. And so we thank you that even in these moments, those of us that have physical ailments going on in our bodies, Lord, that we'll be healed physically even as we hear the word of God today. We thank you for the anointing to do that, following the word, signs and wonders. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's begin reading in Exodus chapter 15, verse 23. It says, "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah," means bitter. "And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree." Say, a tree. What do you think that symbolizes? The cross of Jesus. Amen. "Which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet." How many of you know when Jesus steps into your life, no matter what has come into your world to make bitter, to make awful, to be filled with death, Jesus turns your life around and makes the bitter waters sweet again. Isn't that good? "There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, 'If you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, do what was right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.'" Now, I want you to notice, any time in the Old Testament, there are verses that tell you to do these things that we just read. Hearken diligently, listen, obey, follow the commandments. You can translate that in our day to believe on Jesus. Amen? Amen. Believe on Jesus. How many of you know Jesus finished all the work? Amen? So it's not about you obeying perfectly in order to get the blessing. The blessing has been qualified to you because of Jesus's perfect behavior. Amen? But those, we want to take note of, the Bible says, you know, the things in the Old Testament were written for our admonishment, written for our instruction. And so there are some key words here. I want you to look at it again. Hearken diligently. Not just hearken, but hearken how? Diligently. And do that which is right in his sight. Give ear. Give ear. Say, give ear.
Give ear.
And keep. Keep all his statutes. Amen? In other words, it's walking closely. It's listening closely. It's following closely the truth of the gospel. Again, it's not about keeping Old Testament laws. It's about giving your attention, giving your heart, giving your ear to the truth of the gospel of Jesus. And God says this, "I will not bring on you any diseases like I did in Egypt." Because he reveals himself here, he says, "I am the Lord that heals you." And I have Alan put up a slide at this time that shows you the Hebrew letters that form that word Lord. The word Lord in your Bible, anytime you see the word Lord capitalized, L-O-R-D, in all caps, it is what we translate to the word Jehovah. We actually throw the vowels in there because they're not in there in the Hebrew language. It's all consonants. And the consonants from reading, because Hebrew language reads right to left, look at it here on the screen, Yud, Hey, and these are not the exact spellings. These are just pronunciation spellings, with you, if you will. Yud hey vav hey. Say yud hey vav hey.
Yud hey vav hey.
The word yud, or the letter yud in the Hebrew language, actually translates, because all their letters, they have like I think it's 22 letters in their whole alphabet, and they all translate to a pictogram and also to a number. They don't have numbers like we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They have letters, and each letter corresponds to a number, and each letter has a corresponding picture associated with it. And I want to tell you about these pictures. Yud is a picture of a hand. Say a hand. The house looking structure there, the hay, is actually it in the Hebrew language, and I don't have these pictures up, but what it means. Hay is a picture of a window, an open window. And in fact, it has kind of a mystery to it, because of course Jewish scholars, they don't believe in Jesus as their Messiah, so they don't get it. What does the open window mean? Okay? Well, we understand it's a perspective. It's a view. How many of you know when you look at the Old Testament, you have a clear perspective when you look through the lens of grace? Amen? So the idea of hey translates to, actually literally in the Hebrew, it means to look or behold, because it's a picture of a window. Say behold.
Behold.
Okay? So in a sense, it means a hand, behold. Look at the hand. Then vav is, in the Hebrew language, translates to a nail. It's a picture of a nail or a hook. And so it's like saying, God is saying, Look at the hand, look at the hook, or look at the nail. What was that? What would that tell you of? Yud hey vav hey. Look at the hand, behold the nail. Jesus. It's open book test. Come on. It's Jesus. Amen. Who is Yud hey vav hey? He's not just Jehovah. He's Jesus, the man who took the nail in his hand. Amen. It doesn't get any clearer than that. I mean, it's just so clear, you know, to the Jews. It's like, how do you miss it? It's the hand, it's the nail. But that's what his name is, Yud Heh Vav Heh, Jehovah. We put the vowels in there. We get the word Jehovah from Yud Heh Vav Heh, and it is see the hand, see the nail. Amen. And not just see, the letter hey also translates to the idea of grace. I'm not going to go into that in too much detail for now, but behold the nail, behold the hand, amen? Or excuse me, behold the hand, behold the nail, reading right to left. That's what Yud Heh Vav Heh literally means. And so we could see when the Lord says here, I am the Lord that healeth thee, the word healeth translates to the word rapha in the Hebrew language, rapha, R-A-P-H-A. And rapha simply means to heal or to cure. I like that idea of curing. And so we might say it this way. God says, he reveals himself to his people and he says, I'm Jesus cure to you. Amen. I'm the Jesus cure. I'm the guy with the nail in my hand and I'm your cure. Say cure. God is our cure. He's our divine cure. Aren't you glad? That is who he is. You know, when Jesus appeared to Thomas after his resurrection, he said, Thomas said, I won't believe unless I put my finger in his nail prints and my hand in his side. And Jesus appeared to Thomas and said, behold the hand. Behold my hands. It's like he started to say, Yud Heh Vav Heh, Thomas. look at the hand, look at the nail. Look, Thomas, it's right here before you. I'm Jehovah. I am that I am. Amen. He revealed himself to Thomas as Yud Heh Vav Heh, the God who has his hand outstretched in grace to receive the nail on your behalf. Aren't you glad? Amen. Listen, I want to point out to you, God's remedy for your sickness is a person. It's not a thing.
That's right.
Aren't you glad? In fact, God has only one remedy, a divine remedy for sickness, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus himself is your healer. That's who he says he was to the people of Israel here in Exodus 15:26. I'm the Lord Jesus, your cure. God's health care system is far superior to man's. No man can grow a woman's foot who was malformed from birth and grow that foot out several inches in an act of divine healing. My wife got saved as a child in a Francis Hunter meeting when she saw a woman's foot grow out as it was being prayed for. That's divine, amen. That's God's superior health care system, if you will. No man can put eyeballs in a child's eyes who was born without eyeballs, but God can.
Yes.
Amen. Yud Heh Vav Heh can. The man who took the nail, the man who has an open hand of grace, he can give us the divine Jesus cure, and he does. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. John G. Lake was a healing pioneer in the last century. He was born to a family with, count them, 16 kids. Woo-hoo. Strong parents. But by the time he was a young adult, John said, I was surrounded with a constant parade of death, funerals, hearses, doctors. 8 of his siblings had already passed by the time he was a young adult. 8 siblings out of those 16. In fact, at the time of him writing these thoughts in his book, he said, my wife was dying of heart disease and tuberculosis. One of my brothers had been an invalid for 22 years. He was literally bleeding faster than we could feed him. They would feed him foods that would generate blood. I guess that's kidneys. I don't know what generates blood. And some of you wives that cook, I don't know. I never heard of food that generates blood. But they couldn't keep it in him fast. They couldn't get the blood pumping in him fast enough. His kidneys were bleeding out. He was literally dying. Another sister was dying of cancerous tumors just popping up all over her body. A second sister had an issue of blood and was dying from it. And at the time that John G. Lake discovered the truth of divine healing, this is what he was surrounded with. His wife dying, his brother dying, his 2 sisters. And there was a preacher in Chicago who brought the truth. Aren't you glad for the truth regarding divine healing? He brought the truth that Jesus is the healer, that God's will is to heal, that God doesn't bring us sickness, God brings us health. And they took John G. Lake's brother, that had been suffering 22 years, they took him to this meeting. He was instantly healed. They laid hands on him. He was instantly raised up off his deathbed. They were so excited. They went home and they got his sister who had the cancerous tumors in her body. They said, come on, brother just got healed. You can get it too. She didn't have much faith, but when she got to that meeting, the power of God hit her. And within days, these tumors just started literally falling out of her body. She was completely miraculously healed. His wife was prayed for days later. He took that truth. The preacher healed the first two people. people in his family. He prayed for his wife and his other sister and saw them miraculously raised up by the glory of God. Amen. And he became if you don't know it, back in the early 1900s, they literally shut down hospitals on the West Coast because of the healing ministry of John G. Lake. That is powerful. Amen. Amen. Not just a few patients. They literally put the doctors out of business. I love it. I think it's cool. John G. Lake said this about sickness. He said, sickness is incipient death. That's incipient, spelled with a C in the middle. Incipient death. Meaning sickness is, in a sense, the beginning of death in our body. Sickness is, in its expression, is like death kind of giving you an appetizer. Would you agree? Amen. How many of you ever had the flu and you thought you were pretty sure you were dying? I've had some moments. I know, my wife can tell you, I'm whining and crying, and I know I'm going to die from this one. You know, but that's the way sickness feels. And it doesn't always result in death, but it is an expression, in a sense, like an appetizer of death. And we should learn to hate sickness like we would hate death. Amen. The Bible says the last enemy of mankind is death. Amen. The last enemy to be triumphed over is death. You and I are walking in the victory now. Amen. But someday our bodies are going to die. I mean, we are going to pass from this shell, this earth suit. We're going to have to go through physical death if the Lord doesn't return sooner. But death will be our last enemy in this life. Amen. But he said, I learned to hate death. I mean, John G. Lake, he took the healing ministry over to South Africa. He prayed for people who had the bubonic plague that were dying left and right all around him. He saw miracles happen all during his life. And he understood that sickness was not a gift from God. Amen? Listen, saints, if you want to walk into divine healing, you got to get rid of some bad teaching. Some of you got some bad teaching. You grew up in churches that taught you, well, God gives you sickness to give you a lesson, teach you a lesson. Listen, Jesus made it clear when he came. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come to give you life. Amen? God came to give us life. Look at Romans 5:12 here on the screen. We're not going to turn there. I've got lots of scriptures here this morning. Romans 5:12 says this. For sin, no, it's the other one, 5:12. Real close. This tells us the source of how sickness entered the world. Romans 5:12 says this. It makes you appreciate it all the more when it gets up there. Romans 5:12. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Say death by sin. How did death come into the world? It came into the world through sin. How did sickness come into the world? It came into the world not because of God, because of sin. Say it with me. It came because of sin. Amen. Amen. Death by sin. And you know, Adam, you know, God told him, he said, the day that you eat of that fruit, you're going to die. Well, we know that he didn't pass in the first 24 hours. Why? Because the Bible tells us how long he lived. But, you know, somewhere along the way, Adam started to exude a little bit of death. I mean, I'm guessing, you know, maybe year 620, his wife looked at him and said, I see a little gray in your hair. You know, around 710 or so, he's starting to walk with a slight limp. Around 837, the kid said, you know what, Mom, Dad's starting to repeat his stories. And by about year 910, Adam's starting to forget where he parked his camel. And by 930, it was all over. 930. Adam lived 930 years. So he didn't die the first 24 hours, but he did die, didn't he? And actually, it's kind of an interesting note. God said, a day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as the day of the Lord. The Lord said, in the day you eat, you will surely die. There was no man who ever lived beyond 1,000 years. No man lived beyond that definition of 1,000 years in the Lord's eye with the sin and sickness in the world. Isn't that interesting? But you know, Adam was created to have dominion. Adam was created to have dominion over the earth. God said that in Genesis, I think it's 1:26. We saw that last week, 1:26 or 2:26. He said, let them have dominion. Man was created for dominion, but now he was being dominated by sin, disease, and death. But God had a plan. Aren't you glad? Amen. God had a plan to overthrow this death that had come into the world. And how did death come into the world again? Test? By sin, right. God didn't give us death. Death came by sin, right. Romans 5:12. Don't forget it. Hallelujah. Jesus came as the last Adam. Jesus came into the world, and he came to overthrow the death and disease that the enemy had brought by introducing sin. I want to flash a few scriptures here real quick before you. Alan had it just a moment ago. Romans 6:14. It says, sin shall have no dominion over you, for you are not under law, you are under grace. Amen? And not only sin shall not have dominion over you, but we know that sin brought what? death, right? We just, as an open book test, 5:12, right? Romans 5:12. Sin, death came through sin. So death will not have dominion over you, amen? Sickness will not have dominion over you, right? Because you are not under law, you are under grace. One translation says you're not under laws that require you to do something, you're under God's favor. Amen? We are under God's favor. And in this place of grace, we have been delivered from the dominion of sickness, the dominion of death. Praise the Lord. Colossians 1:13, if you throw that up there, please, real quick. You just write these references down. We're going to scan through them. We're going to turn to some other scriptures. But this says, who hath delivered us from the power, one translation says, the dominion of darkness. Amen? And he has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Praise the Lord. This verse just keeps popping up all around me. I'll turn on a TV preacher or listen to somebody on the radio. And I mean, everywhere I turn these days, it seems like God is reminding me of this verse. He has delivered us. Amen. Say delivered. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. You have been delivered. Listen, sometimes life starts to crowd in on you. It starts to press on you. And we call that oppression. When the enemy tries to bring pressing on your life and make life become dreary, make life become gloomy, that is oppression. And God has delivered us from that oppression. Amen? He has rescued us from that oppression, and he's done it through the Lord Jesus. He's delivered us from the power and dominion of darkness. Titus 2:11 says, the grace of God brings salvation. Say that with me. The grace of God brings salvation. Amen? It is appeared to all men. The grace of God through Jesus Christ comes and it brings salvation. Aren't you glad that God has brought the cure? Amen? Amen. He didn't leave us in a world with sickness. Now, he could have. And we could have said, well, you know, he could have said, you're saved. You're going to heaven when you die. So you're all right. You got your ticket. So just, you know, the sooner you die, the sooner you'll get here. Y'all didn't find any humor in that. But I mean, he could have said that. Right? Aren't you glad he didn't? Well, he didn't leave us just floundering here to struggle in regards to our physical health, but he gave us the cure. Say the Jesus cure. He gave us the Jesus cure, amen? And he said here, grace comes through salvation. The grace of God brings, salvation comes by grace, Titus 2:11. The grace of God brings salvation. Now turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. Some of you may wonder, what does this have to do with healing? Well, look at it close. We'll explain it. It says here, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, or God's planting. You are God's field, and you are God's building. I want to say this, just getting into the heart of my message today, that in this verse we see that God plants in us seeds of life. God considers you and I like his garden. It says here that we are God's planting. In one translation, in the Young's literal translation, it says you are God's tillage. I like that, tillage, T-I-L-L-A-G-E. You and I are God's tillage. And listen, when you got born again, God started a process of planting in your life good things, great truths, great promises started being poured into you if you went to church. Hopefully you did. You're here today, so you've done the right thing. And God says, you know, get into my book, get into the Bible, come to church, hear the word of God, listen to Bible teachers, and God will begin to plant in you because you are his garden. You are his planting. And see, before we got saved, the enemy was doing some planting too, wasn't he? Amen? The devil is just as much, he's a mimic. He is a copycat, and he knows how the laws in God's kingdom work, and the laws of God's kingdom work through planting, through sowing and reaping. And God plants his seed, and the devil came before we were ever born again. Most of us, when we were kids, he planted evil seeds, through things you heard, traumatic experiences you encountered, diverse fears and lies that were sown into your life. The devil's been busy with you before you ever knew Jesus. Amen? He's been working on you for years. But God gets a hold of you at salvation. He says, you're my planting now. You're my planting. I'm going to sow into you my goodness, my truth. And the Bible says in Psalm 107:20, he sends his word and heals us. Amen. God sends his word. It's a picture of God sending this seed into our hearts to sprout and bring up a harvest of healing. Praise the Lord. Psalm 107:20, if you're taking notes. He sends the seed of his word. You know, many, many healing ministers will tell you the best way for you and I to get healing, and actually the way that people mature the most, is not to have hands laid on them, although that's one method. Amen. Anointing oil like we did this morning, laying hands on people. That's part of what we do in the name of the Lord. But healing ministers will tell you the best way for people to get their healing is to plant the word of God in their hearts themselves. Amen. Plant the promises of God in your heart yourself and let that thing grow a garden of divine health in you. Amen. That's God's method. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to read about it real quick here. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. My message title today is Healing Through Hearing. Healing Through Hearing. And in Proverbs 4:20, it tells us how this works, this process that God has designed. Now, I want you to understand, who wrote the book of Proverbs?
Solomon.
So again, when you're reading these words, many times you'll hear things spoken as if it were coming from Solomon, and he's saying things like, attend to my words. Well, he's talking about his particular words, but how many of you know that's a principle that operates all through the word? Amen? Yeah. God's saying here, attend to all my words, not just the words of Solomon. But look in verse 20 there in chapter 4. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them. They are health to all their flesh. Praise the Lord. Let's break that down a little bit. Let's look at the first word there. He says, my son, attend. Attend. And in the Hebrew language, interestingly enough, there's a letter in that word attend that is the letter bet, B-E-T. And that letter bet corresponds to a picture of a house. What better place for the Lord to say, I want you to attend to my words, but in my house, in the house of God. How do you attend to the words of God? Come into church. There's your plug for the day. Attend to my words, he says. Pay attention to God's house, because in God's house there's meat. Malachi says this, bring your tithes into the storehouse so there'll be meat in my house. Here in God's house there's revelation that flows, amen? Not because I'm anything great or the teachers or preachers we bring through here, but because of God's order. God has designed it so. He has called us to preach the word, amen? The Bible says, how will they hear except with a preacher? Amen. And God's house is the place where we can attend to his words. Why is it important to attend to the word of God? Well, the Bible tells us clearly that these words in this book are not just, they're not just stories. You know, when you read about Noah and the ark, when you read about Samson and Delilah and David and the giant, all these things, you're actually reading about Jesus. You're reading about Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the one who took the nail in his hand for you. Did you know that? Let me give you a couple of references that talk about that. John 5:39, Jesus said, you Pharisees study the law, but the words in the law actually testify about me. That's what he said about the Old Testament. He said, those words are talking about me. He said in John 5:46, he said, Moses wrote about me. Did you know that? Now, we look at the words of Moses. I don't see the word Jesus mentioned anywhere in Genesis through Deuteronomy. But Moses wrote about things like what? The temple, the brazen altar, the brazen laver, the altar of incense. He wrote about the tabernacle, amen? He wrote about all kinds of laws, dietary laws, things. But see, Jesus was saying, hidden in those words are pictures and symbols that refer to me. He said, Moses wrote about me. In Luke 24:27, it says that Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus with two people. And it says, as he was talking to them, he explained through the law and through the prophets, beginning with Moses, everything concerning himself. Say himself. The law and the prophets testify about himself, who is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, amen? They testify about Jehovah God. The law and the prophets, I'm telling you, when you read the Old Testament, you might yawn at times and go, I don't know what that means. But I'm telling you, there's a mystery hidden in these words. And the mystery of life is that they testify about Jesus. And only the Holy Spirit can show you those symbols, but they're in there, amen? They're in there, folks. Praise the Lord. So when you're reading about creation in Genesis, the Bible says in the beginning, God spoke. And who was that? That even the very words coming out of God's mouth? Jesus. because the Bible refers to Jesus is the Word. When you read about the brazen altar is the place where just inside the encampment there in the tabernacle of Moses in the wilderness, there was an altar on which they offered all the animal sacrifices. And that altar made out of bronze, it symbolized Calvary. It symbolized Jesus's life being laid down on the altar of sacrifice at Calvary. So when you read about the brazen altar, you're reading about Jesus. Amen. When you read about Daniel's vision, I'm telling you, there's some weird things in Daniel's vision. Some, you know, a statue made with clay feet and bronze, you know, this and brass that and gold this. But I'm telling you, hidden in Daniel's writings is the only time in Scripture in the Old Testament where the word Messiah is used. Did you know that? If you look it up, the word Messiah is only found in two spots, and they're both in the book of Daniel. So what do we see in there? Jesus is depicted all throughout the Word. And that's why he says here in Proverbs 4, he says, when you attend to my words, you give attention to them. You incline your ear. He said, incline your ear unto my sayings. Well, you know, there was a man in the Gospels named Bartimaeus. Do you remember the story of Bartimaeus? He was begging along the road, and he heard that Jesus was coming, right? And he started yelling louder and louder. He said, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people said, shush, you're making a disturbance. He started yelling louder, Son of David, have mercy on me, right? And all of a sudden the people said, be of good cheer, the master calls you. And he called him to himself, and he healed blind Bartimaeus. But it says, when he heard Jesus was passing by, he called out. Isn't that interesting? Why do you think blind Bartimaeus called out for mercy when he heard Jesus passing by? Well, I suppose that somewhere along the way, he heard about this merciful healer named Jesus from Nazareth. Amen? Faith comes by hearing. How would he have even known that Jesus would be merciful? How would he have had any expectation that this man from Nazareth would even take the time to be kind to him and heal him, except he had heard? And Solomon says here in Proverbs 4, he says, incline your ear to my sayings. How do you get to know Jesus' heart towards you? You listen to this book. You turn your ear to it, and the more you turn your ear to it and read it and listen to it, you find and hear and absorb the heart of a Savior and a great physician named Jesus, who is merciful. Amen?
Amen.
Luke 5:15 and Luke 6:17 says, the multitudes came to hear and be healed. Say that with me. Hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. How is the process that God has designed for you and I to receive our healing on a continual basis? Listen, there will come a day you won't be able to get to the church house, maybe for your healing, to have the preacher lay hands on you, or you won't be able to find the healing evangelist to deal with your situation. How is it you can get healing on your own? Hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. And you hear simply by inclining your ear to this book right here. Amen. If you don't have a Bible, see us afterwards. We will get you a Bible. Praise the Lord. We want everyone to hear and be healed. I want to say this. Hearing is vital to your healing. The devil's number one thing in your walk, one of the biggest strategies of the enemy to get you deteriorating, breaking down, dying physically in every way, mentally, emotionally, is to get you out of this book. Because he knows as long as you're hearing these healing words, your life will thrive. You'll be a garden well-watered. You'll be a garden saturated in healing words that will give life to you, literally. And his number one goal is to keep you out of the book for that reason. Look at verse 21. Let them not depart from your eyes. Let them not depart from your eyes. That's what I was just talking about. What's the devil's strategy? Get you out of the Bible. And I'm telling you, as a preacher, I fight it too. I know you think, this is what I do for my life, that I would not struggle with that area, but I'm human. And I'm challenged with the same challenge as you are, and that is to stay in the book. Stay in the book. Stay in the book. Why? Because the words of life are in this book. They testify of Jesus, the one who is our healer, the merciful healer. Amen? You know, when we think even about the medical world, think about what it is you see on the side of an ambulance or things associated with, you know, a trauma center. What is it? A big red cross. And what is it representative of? Mercy. Right? You see that red cross, you go run into that red cross, you know, that's the place I can get aid. That's the place I can get compassion. That's the place where my suffering can be alleviated. And I'm telling you, that symbol of the red cross is all found in the heart of Jesus. Yes. Amen. And this book testifies of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Dodie Osteen said that when she was recovering from, she had liver cancer, all kinds of cancer in her body, and she literally did what I'm telling you today. She got in the Word. She started planting the seed of God's Word in her ear, in her eyes, all of her heart, and she filled her life with healing scriptures, and she overcame that thing. She's still alive today. Praise the Lord. It's a great testimony here in Houston to the healing power of Jesus. And she said, she made this remark. She said, I would start every day with healing scriptures. She said, I knew them by heart after all these days that she had spent in the Word over and over for hours and hours. She said, and most of them I knew by heart. I could just recite them, but she said, I wanted to put them before my eyes. Amen. So I keep them before my eyes, just like this scripture says here. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Amen. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Praise the Lord. I heard of a story recently of a man who was reading in the book of Hebrews. He wasn't even reading healing scriptures in particular, just reading in the book of Hebrews, just reading his Bible, just good old daily reading, and the Lord healed him of gastrointestinal disease. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. These words are healing words. They are life, the scripture says, to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Listen, you don't have to even be reading about what you're seeking God about. You just spend time in the Word, and I'm telling you, the healing power of God can fill your vessel. It can change your body. It can change your condition even while you're reading. Praise the Lord. Now notice in verse 21, the last part, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Thine heart. It talks about in the King James, thine eyes, thine heart. I want to stress here that it is your revelation of healing that will stand, cause you to stand. Amen? It's not someone else's revelation. I know Dodie Osteen got her healing. Praise the Lord. But you know what? If sickness comes into your life or into my life, it's time for us to man up, woman up, and get in the Word of God and find what, let that revelation come alive to us. Let them be alive in thine eyes and thine heart. It has to be a you revelation. It has to be a personal revelation. And God has designed it that way that we can all achieve it. Amen? It's a whosoever will thing. You don't have to struggle. You don't, like I said, you may not always have access to a healing evangelist or a preacher to lay hands on you, but you can open your Bible and you can let these words fill your eyes, fill your heart, and they will be life unto you. Praise the Lord. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a story where Israel had murmured against God, and he sent fiery serpents. Actually, they were probably there all the time, just hidden under the sand because they were out there in the desert. But it says God released these fiery serpents to strike the people. A lot of people died there in the camp, in Israel's camp. And the Bible says Moses lifted up a bronze serpent on a pole. You know the story? And that's where we get in the medical world, literally on an ambulance, when you see that serpent wrapped around a pole or wrapped around a cross, that's literally from the Bible. I mean, I hope they never do away with that. I mean, that's one of those last symbols that we have still of the Bible in the public place. But it was from that story. And he said he held up the pole, and the pole symbolized the judgment of God being alleviated through Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, if I be lifted up. If I be lifted up. And he actually quoted from this story. And in fact, season 1, episode 7 of The Chosen, they start off with this story of the brazen pole, the serpent on the pole. So you can see it there depicted. And this, the truth that we get from that story is that God says, if you will look, you will live. If you will look at the serpent and turn your eyes toward it. In other words, fix your eyes on Jesus who bore your punishment for you. Then you'll be healed. Amen? Yeah. He said, listen, I don't want you to just give it a passing glance. It's not just about, you know, well, I opened my Bible yesterday or I read Proverbs, you know, last week. No, he says, look with an attentive gaze. There's a big difference between just a glance and a gaze. A gaze means you're fixed on that thing and nothing else is distracting you. Amen? The Word of God will be life unto those that do that. Amen. Look and live. Praise the Lord. It's a constant watering, if you will, of that area of your life. Whatever needs healing in you, whatever needs a touch of God in your life, you constantly water it by putting these words before your eyes and letting them fill your heart, and God will heal you. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to close out by reading in verse 22. It says, they are life unto those that find them, health to all their flesh. I hope if you have your marker or your pen, you underline that word, those and there. Listen, God's words are not life to everybody. They are life to those who find them. They are health to their flesh. Who are the there and the those? Those are the people that take time and dig in the Word and say, Jesus, I'm not leaving until you heal me. Jesus, I'm not letting go until I see manifest in my body that which you promised, that which you did for sister so-and-so, that which you did for brother so-and-so 100 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, last week. I'm not letting go until you do it for me. And for those, they will find life. Amen. They will be life to those people and health to all their flesh. Amen. Those kind of people, the people who find the words, who keep them in the midst of their heart, who hear them, hearken diligently to them, and attend to them, those are the people that find life in the Word. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, listen, I'm telling you, it takes great faith to believe this very basic promise that Solomon wrote about here in Proverbs 4, that they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. You say, oh, preacher, you're kind of stretching it a bit there. You mean I can open the book of Psalms and somehow God's going to heal my toenail, you know, or touch my aching back, or, you know, heal this liver problem I got? Yes, absolutely. Yes. Health to all your flesh means every part of your being can be healed through the power of Jesus if you will gaze, not just glance, at the one who hung for you. Amen? Let's stand together. As we close out today, the Lord laid something on my wife's heart, and I want to have her come at this time. We're going to pray over a very unique group of people, which I believe some of you will be in this group today, and the Lord wants to touch. He wants to do a healing. I hope you'll take this word, these promises from Proverbs chapter 4, and go home and at least do a homework assignment of taking one scripture that relates to your need this week and finding that one verse and chewing on it, letting it not depart from your eyes, letting it be filling your ears and your heart all week long, and chew on that thing and let the Word of God begin to affect healing in your life in that area. Amen? Praise the Lord. Go ahead, Tara.
Praise the Lord. You know, this season that we've come out of, this COVID season, has been an interesting one, right? You know, 2 years of just all kinds of things that we've never seen before. And during prayer, the Lord just put it on our heart to pray specifically for some lingering things that have come through COVID. Lingering things. It might be things in your physical body, maybe mental fogginess. We've heard that from people. Just conditions in your body that weren't there before. Maybe you got COVID and you've just had this lingering thing. It might be something fearful. You know, maybe some people have gotten fears from that have just kind of stuck around. We've seen COVID come through and it's wanted to drop all these packages off, I think, and then take off. And the Lord just put it on our heart to take authority over that. You know, the God that we serve, he said, I came to restore your life. He came to bring good things to us. And the name of Jesus is above every name, even the name of COVID.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He said, at my name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to pray about those things today. So if there's something in your life that you feel like has hung around, it might be something with your job. It might be economical setbacks, bad habits, addictions. I've heard people talk about hair issues, you know, things with their hair. Since I've had COVID, I've had some kind of problem with my hair. But we just want to pray about that today. So if that's you, mm-hmm. and you say there's something that has just been lingering, I just want us to bow our hearts and let's release our faith for that just to be eradicated from our lives. So this COVID thing is done with. It's not going to hang on. So let's pray right now.
Thank you, Father.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you,
so if
Jesus.
That's you, just lift your hand as an acknowledgement. Lord, we just lift our hands, Father, acknowledging that something has tried to come by through this COVID deal and drop a package off. And we just need your deliverance to come. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare your name, your good name that's above every name, above every condition, every habit, every addiction, every situation that we have found ourselves in due to this COVID situation. And we break the power of it by the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
By the name of Jesus, we say no more, Father, and we thank you that we go free because of your name, because of your delivering power. And Father, I thank you for the manifestation in every life. We give you glory, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we talked to some people and they said, man, there was people they knew of that were contemplating suicide, people that were struggling with depression, all kinds of things as an after effect of a silly disease like COVID, which is almost like a common cold for the most part, for its effects in people's body. And I realized, man, yeah, I even started to deal with some mental things that were trying to come on me as a result as well. So we just break that in Jesus' name, amen? This, again, is one of those things where the enemy, listen, saints, he's trying all of your life, he will try to sow his seeds in your life. Amen. But God, the Bible says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God's grace is always greater than the enemy's plan for you. It always overwhelms the enemy if you'll open your heart to it. Amen. You have to reach out and take it. It's not just going to fall on you, but God will be there if you cry out to him, if you believe him and you trust him. He will overwhelm the plans of the enemy, and he'll wash it out of your system. He'll wash it out of your life. He'll plant his seed in you and produce a good harvest, because he's all about life for us. Amen. Just lift your hands and receive it today. Say, Jesus, I thank you for the cure.
I thank you for the cure.
The Jesus cure.
The Jesus cure.
That comes through you.
That comes through you.
The one who took the nail.
The one that took the nail.
In his precious hands.
His precious hands.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For your healing in my life.
For your healing in
my Jesus'
life.
Name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Remember the events going on this week, and see Jane if you're interested in movie tickets. Have a blessed day in Jesus.